Life Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Lauren Groh lives in Milwaukee, but this spring and summer, her residence is the Appalachian Trail. Groh has been periodically sharing her experience through hiking the trail from Georgia to Maine with us.
Groh passed both the 70-day and 700-mile marks not too long before she checked in with Audrey Nowakowski from the trail.
It feels awesome. We're totally excited. Totally excited. I couldn't believe it when I was looking through counting the days. And I realized that we had hit 70 days out here. It's unreal. I can't believe we've been doing this for 70 days. It's flown by.
I suppose it doesn't feel like 70 days, and your sense of time kind of gets thrown off anyways.
Yeah. I mean, time is everything, but in the overall, it's like daily time is everything. Mm-hmm. Today is time. But as far as like the week or the month, I don't know what day it is.
Where are you right now as you're checking in? I know we tried on and off this last month to get in touch, but you're in the Smoky Mountains where signals were just kind of volatile.
Right. So we made it through the Smoky Mountains, and then we were in and out of North Carolina and Tennessee. So we were like bouncing back and forth. Then we finally made our way into Virginia, and we hit the famous trail town of Damascus. And that's where there's the famous trail festival called Trail Days. That's the biggest trail festival on the whole Appalachian Trail. We didn't actually go. We got to Damascus well before Trail Days, and we kept moving. We just decided we needed to keep moving, and we can go another year.
True. And what makes a trail town such as Damascus? Is it the festival, or is it just that there's a lot of good resources and hubs for hikers to utilize?
I think a trail town is really welcoming of hikers, and a lot of trail towns have like hiker deals where, you know, you come in, you have a meal. For example, the town we just entered into, it's Daleville, Virginia. There is a place where you can buy a meal and then you get a free dessert, and it's like free banana pudding that comes with your meal for any hiker. And that's just, of course you're going to go for that. You're hungry. You're a hiker, you know? So, like, things like that where you have, like, festivals or, you know, a deal or places are named, you know, hiker-type names, and, you know you're going to be welcomed there. There's a lot of hostels. There's hiker boxes where you can put things in there that you don't want. A lot of times it's food or gear that you don't want anymore, and then you look through the hiker box and you see if there's anything that you might want to pick out and take with you. So there's things like that, like little things. And then just being welcomed into the town, people being really friendly and happy that you're there. There are certain towns where I've felt like maybe people weren't, you know, it didn't matter. If you're there, great. If you're not there, whatever, you know. But some towns, they really welcome you in, and they're just excited that you're there, and they want to enjoy the time that you're there and make your stay as wonderful as possible.
You're also there to get some gear, correct? How has that been going?
Oh, the gear. Okay. So just after we left Damascus, we camped in a spot just a few miles out of Damascus, a really beautiful spot. And I made a gear video for my YouTube channel. And I was talking about how all my gear was holding up really great. And it had been just before 500 miles when we left Damascus. And I was really excited. All my gear was holding out. And then right after that, all my gear started failing on me, basically. A mouse chewed through two places on my pack. So I have like three mouse holes in my pack. And then on the inside of my pack, I have a rain liner. It's like a bag that you put all your stuff inside your pack, and it helps so that rain doesn't get in through your pack to your sleeping bag and your clothes and stuff like that. Well, I've got big holes in my bag liner as well. I had to replace my shoes, so I have new shoes now, which is great. What else? Just a bunch of stuff started failing. And now Risha is in right now in an outdoor shop, and she is getting another new pair of shoes. So this is her third pair on the trail, but the second pair that she's bought on the trail.
And do you find it's just from so much wear and tear, or are you learning what brands and types of shoes work best for you guys?
Well, I think it's definitely a learning process. A lot of it is wear and tear. I mean, you can't imagine that you can wear a pair of shoes for 1,000 miles and if you don't spend money on them, that they're going to last that long. And there are certain shoes that, you know, there's no, like the company doesn't say, hey, these shoes will make it 1,000 miles or something. The current pair of shoes that I have, luckily, they do have that kind of a warranty. Hey, these will make it 1,000 miles. But I'm wearing trail shoes or hiking shoes, which are like boots, but not the high top. And then Misha is wearing almost like running shoes, but they're trail runners. So they're just like a little bit heavy-duty running shoe, and hers wear out a lot faster because that's just the type of shoe that's comfortable for her on her foot, and they wear out in like 500 miles. So I guess that's just what happens.
Right.
You're wearing them every day, all day, hiking, you know, 15-plus miles.
Well, in addition to the mileage changing your gear, how have you noticed your body changing? Have you noticed your legs are much stronger? Your endurance is built up? Are there certain things where you're just like, yeah, okay, let's keep this going?
We were just talking about this the other day, actually. I was thinking, we're hiking up the mountain, and, well, the mountain, one of them, one of the, you know, dozens/hundreds of mountains that we have to hike up. And I was thinking, it felt different to be hiking up that mountain than when we were in Georgia in the very beginning, hiking up some of the first mountains. And I remember digging my poles into the ground so hard because my legs couldn't do the full job that I had to use my arms and my trekking poles to help kind of propel me up the mountain. And I was realizing the other day as we're climbing up this mountain that my legs were doing most of the work, and my poles, they were more for stability than they were for, you know, moving me up the mountain. So I really do feel a lot stronger overall now after being on the trail 700 miles.
Yeah, that's enough to build up a lot, certainly. Have you noticed that your clothes are fitting looser differently, or that your leg muscles are really toned and you're just feeling better overall? Have you balanced out the energy that you're expelling and the food consumption to help with that as well?
Well, definitely you got to do the whole feel your muscle and see if it's harder than it was before. Mm-hmm. Definitely. That is 100% totally different muscles like I've never had in my life. And as far as clothes, yeah, like my pants are kind of falling off me, even though they have a little like belt inside the waistband that you can kind of tighten them as you go, as you lose weight. But I think it might be to the level of I need to just buy a new pair of pants. And I don't think it's necessarily losing weight as it is repositioning your weight on your body. Because girls don't tend to lose as much weight as guys do. And we've talked to some guys, they've lost 30 pounds already. And we haven't stepped on a scale lately, but a while ago, I want to say just before Damascus, we both stepped on a scale. And I think maybe we had lost 5 pounds each. But it feels different, you know, like your body feels different and stronger and you're carrying the weight differently. So that's great. As far as feeling healthy, the food choices, I feel like, could be better for what we have in our packs and that kind of thing. We didn't dehydrate our own food, and we brought a lot of junk, really. I mean, it's hard to find the stuff that you want to put in your food bag that's going to satisfy you, have a lot of calories, have a lot of fat and all that, and still be healthy. So I think if we had dehydrated our own food, there would be a better result as far as vegetables and stuff like that. We don't really have any vegetables in our pack. But recently, I asked my mom if she would send us some powder. It's like a super green powder, and it's got a whole bunch of vitamins and probiotics and just a whole bunch of good stuff that we can't really get from what we have in our pack on a regular basis. So now we're drinking those in the morning with breakfast. They're really awful, like absolutely disgusting to drink. But as far as energy, it's been, I feel a difference. So
that's
we're going to keep drinking them.
Yeah. Power through it.
No. Yeah.
And I heard from you sporadically when you were hiking through the Smokies in that general area, but I imagine, you know, it was difficult for you mentally to get through that path, especially with the unknown factors of having a signal or where to stay and the weather being very volatile. So what was your main takeaway from the mountain section that you just came out of recently?
Well, the Smoky Mountains, they were unreal, like so different from anything else on the trail. Beautiful, but almost like you're in a different world, like fairyland. Like it was very different being in the Smokies. And the thing is, it was almost like not like you want to stay there for long. It's beautiful, but you want to get through it. And I think the plan for through hikers by the National Forest is to get through hikers through as quickly as possible, because they're trying to maintain the environment in that area and make sure that it's kept in really good condition. And, you know, with the amount of through hikers, the reality of it is that a lot of people in one area can ruin the land in the area. And so they want to move people through really fast. So that was kind of what was happening. We had to move from shelter to shelter. They encouraged us not to do any camping. So we stayed in shelters throughout the entire Smokies. And I guess socially, is, you know, you're on a lot of socializing because you're always in a shelter. So you're surrounded by 20 other people every single night. You're all smushed together. You know, you all smell, you're all wet because it's raining every single day. And, you know, you're just trying to like get through together. So it's almost like, you know, you kind of band together. And it was a really cool experience, but I think it was one of those where, you know, as much as it was wonderful and beautiful, you want to eventually get out. And for us, I think we did it in 6 or 7 days. We carried enough food to get us all the way through, and then we just stopped when we got out of the Smokies. So by the time we got there, we were ready for a break and a shower and laundry and food and, you know, stuff like that.
How have you found your time management to either improve or stay the same or any different settings? Does it kind of change with whatever environment you're in as you go along?
I would say time management has definitely improved. It has been a struggle, a real struggle, though. Back in the beginning, we were waking up in the morning, packing up, and we were always the last ones out of camp. And then we'd hike all day, and then we'd be the last ones into camp at night. And it was a real struggle to manage our time in a way that we could still pack up, hike, come back to camp, and enjoy some downtime. We're enjoying more downtime now because, you know, we're not really worried about what anybody else is doing because everyone's got their own routine. So, you know, like, for example, we like to eat breakfast in the morning, and Risha will drink coffee in the morning. So this takes us a little longer, but we still pack up in usually an hour to an hour and a half, and then we're out of there. And then when we get into camp, it's kind of like an hour set up getting into camp, and then have dinner, hang bear bags, and then, you know, hopefully we have a little bit of downtime, and then go to bed.
Do you find that with this time management and you need to be very organized and focused that it's not as an introspective experience as you were expecting?
I guess sometimes it takes away from the enjoyment a little bit, having to be so regimented on the trail, because we know that we have a time limit to make our miles to get to Katahdin in Maine. And if we don't make our miles each day, we won't make it there by our goal is the end of September. But on October 15th, Baxter State Park in Maine closes, and we won't be able to summit Katahdin. Physically, we won't be able to do it. So we do have a time limit, we would like to get there by the end of September. So we've tried to make that our goal and plan our mileage accordingly. But then there's also week-by-week planning, because we have a certain amount of food in our bag. And, you know, say we have five dinners. That means we have a certain chunk of miles to get done in 5 days so that we have enough food. So, you know, it's very strategic.
With the strategy and the organization involved, what have you learned to appreciate more as you're out there? Either you on your own or you with hiking with your wife?
I've learned to appreciate little things, like a beautiful view or a moment of seeing a really cool bird or hearing a bird call. The other night, I was laying in the tent and reading my book, and I can hear this bird. It is just going off. I think it was called an Eastern Whippoorwill, and it just was going off for 15, 20 minutes. And I'm listening to it, and I'm like, wow, is this bird ever going to, you know? But I'm listening, and I mean, it's really intriguing to hear it, and it's really close. So there are those little moments. And then the bird finally stopped, and I looked out of the tent, and I'm just laying there, and I can see dozens of fireflies lighting up in the distance outside of the tent. And it was the coolest thing. And I just laid there and thought, wow, I'm so lucky to be here. I can't believe I'm looking at this right now. So there are just those moments to appreciate. And then you realize all the other stuff, the long miles and the ups and downs and all that. It's all worth it for those little things.
Well, I certainly look forward to catching up with you again and talk about more of your experiences on the trail.
All right. Yeah, I look forward to it.
Lake Effect contributor Lauren Groh is hiking the Appalachian Trail from Georgia to Maine this summer. She joined Audrey Nowakowski from the trail in Virginia. You can follow along with Lauren at WUWM.com.